Hi, I'm John Elias.
And Jackson from Montreal, Canada.
You're listening to the IVND podcast.
Go Cavs, go!
Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the IVMV podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and joining me, the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
So most of our discussion on this episode will be about the free agent pitchers that the Cubs did and did not sign in the last week. I know you guys are just so excited to get right into John Lackey discussion. But before we get to that, it is the holiday season, so if you do any shopping on Amazon, make sure that you go to IVMV.com and click on the Amazon link to do your shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra, and Amazon gives us a percentage of your purchase. And also, if you're somebody that's difficult to buy for, how about telling your loved ones to buy you an IVMV t-shirt? That's not a bad idea, huh? So I think I'm stocked up on t-shirts. I think I have all sizes. So any shirts purchased in the next week or 10 days should be delivered by Christmas, and they can be purchased at ivmb.com/store. So on the last episode, we talked about not getting the date that we wanted for our Cubs bus trip this year. We really wanted the Cubs Cardinals series in August. And I know this will be disappointing to some, but I don't think we're going to do a bus trip this year. I think it might be something that we do every other year. We took a couple years off, and then we did last year. Went over really well, had a lot of fun, but I don't know. It's a big production, and we really, the best part of it, I mean, I think for you guys too, is the best part of it for me is just being able to hang out with people that listen to our podcast and other Cubs fans. Isn't that kind of the bus ride itself? I mean, like, sitting on a bus isn't the exciting part, am I right? It's hanging out with people.
Well, I do enjoy a good bus ride.
Good 4-hour bus ride.
Or more. But yeah, the community, we're all in this together.
Right.
We're going to go see our team, hopefully win.
Yeah. So, I got emails last week, like people like kind of like encouraging us to do it. But I think instead what we're going to do is just schedule a few dates during the season where we can do like meetups before and after the game and just kind of hang out and go to the games. I think that's what I'm leaning towards. How do you guys feel about that?
I like that idea.
Yeah, that sounds fine to me.
Yeah. So, and then maybe we'll do a bus trip next year. I think that would just, yeah. So I apologize to anybody.
Plus it gives people the chance to buy us a beer at a reduced rate as opposed to the $9 right. Inside the park. You could buy us a beer at the bar before or after. So
right.
That's probably what, 4 or 5, 6, depending on what we're drinking.
Yeah. And I think I might look into like renting a patio or something like that at Wrigley. They do, you know, different group things now with the bleacher renovations. And 'cause I was thinking then it's easier if we do something like that. It's easier to have like Chicago area people and people from other areas kind of like convene at Wrigley and have that be the hub rather than the Quad Cities where our bus leaves from. I don't know. I just thought about that today and I thought I'd mention that. I think that might kind of work better for everybody. So that's a plan. The other piece of business to take care of is that our spring training plans are taking shape. At least two of us, maybe all three of us will be at spring training from, Saturday, March 19th through Saturday, March 26th. And we'll be going to all of the games during that stretch, hanging out with the backfields. I'd like to throw a nice big party at the place we're renting probably on Sunday night or maybe Monday night since there's no game on Monday that week. But, the place has a pool and air hockey. It's got an air hockey table.
Oh so. No, look out.
So you throw in a
missing games,
you throw it in, I'll bring some I'll save up some like Jingle Java, so we'll have Jingle Java, a pool, and air hockey. I don't think.
I mean, that sounds like paradise.
Right, right.
To me.
On top of like going to see the Cubs play. So I think it's going to be fun. So if you're thinking about heading to spring training, you know, why not line it up with when we're out there and let's have a good time in warm weather. So, and also the spring training schedule was released a few days ago. So you can check that out at Cubs.com. It really sucks. There's only one off day and it's like the second day we're there.
Of course.
But you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing because then it's kind of like gives you like a full day that if you want to go to the backfields and see what's going on back there or you know, one thing we haven't really talked about this, Andy, but I wouldn't mind going to like just see a couple of other teams play and check out a different ballpark out there or something, or maybe do that like usually at the place where the Diamondbacks and the Rockies are. Is that Salt River Field or whatever that place is called?
Yeah, Salt Lick Fields.
Yeah, I think they have a night game there almost every night. And that was really fun to go to that night game out there because, I mean, man, the weather was just so beautiful.
It was one awesome. Of the games is a night game. I don't know if it's there, but one of the games you're out there is a night game.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. I didn't look at any of the times.
It's the Sunday or the Tuesday?
Oh, so it's one of the games at Sloan.
I could be wrong on that, but I saw one of them noted as a night game.
Huh. Yeah, that's cool. So,
but anyway, yeah, Salt River Fields was fantastic.
Yeah, so that would be something maybe to go check out too. But so man, I'm kind of like not wanting to like think about it too much because it's only the beginning of December. But spring training is fun, and hopefully you'll be able to join us, Kurt.
Yeah, hopefully I'll work on that.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into John Lackey. I don't really want to talk about John. Well, I kind of do, I guess. I didn't like the last time we, because, you know, the last, well, the rumors were flying all week and we recorded, what was it, Tuesday night or something like that? And we kind of made fun of John Lackey, I guess, or just kind of, I don't think we were really dismissive of him or whatever, but I don't think we were too big on the idea of the Cubs signing him. And then on Friday, it was announced that they had agreed. The Cubs and Lackey had agreed to a deal, 2 years, $32 million, and I think it's a signing that was received with mixed emotions by Cubs fans. So, what was your guys' first reaction, and then what do you think about it now?
Well, I think my reaction was colored by what happened in the playoffs and what I saw from Lackey in the playoffs, and then what I knew about him from the past too, I guess, but. I was disappointed. I didn't really want him to come to the Cubs. I felt like that was taking the let's get the 2012 Red Sox back together a little bit too far.
Yeah, I think my reaction was a little mixed too. I don't know. I was hoping for at least like a maybe if it wasn't Price, you'd either get Zimmerman or Samardzija, and obviously that didn't happen. So I don't know. I think slight disappointment, but also understanding.
Right,
why they did it, but of all the guys, yeah, he's sort of the least exciting, but
yeah, I think he's the least exciting. But on the other hand, I think in a way he, when you kind of look at everything, he's the one that maybe makes the most sense if you really stop and think about it, and if you kind of look at everything equally, I think it does kind of make sense. And as I said on the last episode, I just don't like his face. He's always bugged me. And obviously those are the reasons that I did not want him are not completely baseball related.
And he's at his best with a baseball cap on. It gets worse when he takes it off. But yeah, once I got past my initial reaction and started looking at the numbers and what he could bring to the team, I started to feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's get into this. He'll be 37 years old in the 2016 season.
37 and 44 days, just in case anyone was wondering.
37.044.
Hat tip to Steven.
So, Andy, tell us what kind of a pitcher he's been throughout his 13-year career.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, it's been a long career. He, of course, has had some infamous moments throughout his career. such as drinking beer in the clubhouse during his Tommy John rehab in 2012. He didn't pitch at all in 2012. You know, to divorcing his wife when she had cancer. But
well, she was no longer in chemotherapy. I mean, let's be accurate here. Her chemo had ended.
Okay. Yes. So she had beaten it at that point. But anyway, since his Tommy John surgery in 2012, he started 64 games in his 27-20 in that span. And for the Cards in 2015, he had a 2.77 ERA, and he was a 13-game winner. I'm guessing he would have had maybe even a few more wins or slash fewer losses had the Cards offense been more akin to maybe like what the Cubs was. But postseason-wise, too, I mean, he won game one of the series against the Cubs this past postseason, pitching 7.1 strong innings of 2-hit, 0 earned run ball. However, he also started game four and got flexed on by the Cubs, primarily with Baez hitting that 3-run homer off of him after Hamill reached on a single, on an RBI single, I should say, too. And I think it was that game where he just had he was so angry. Do you guys remember him in the playoffs, like just looking angry, just poison face, like thinking that the ump had done him wrong? Right, just yeah. Like at that moment, it seemed to me like, okay, well, constitution wise, and then considering his prior foibles with the Red Sox, that, you know, maybe this isn't the greatest guy to bring into the clubhouse. But at any rate,
angry lackey face and understanding lackey face are very hard to distinguish. They look very similar.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah.
Both have mouth agape.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what's going on with it, but he was really upset in that game.
But he was... So
anyway, but yeah, I mean, like after... When you look at it, I mean, the dude has started 64 games since his 2012 Tommy John surgery. So, and that's two seasons, 64 games that he started in two seasons. And I think personally that he is a little bit of an upgrade over Jason Hamill in the three hole.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's, you know, you mentioned that the Cubs kind of roughed him up in game four, the clinching game, but I think it is worth mentioning that he was the Cardinals' number one starter in the playoffs. Granted that their pitching staff had encountered some injuries and everything. I don't think he was their ideal number one go-to guy in the playoffs, but, and he pitched really well in game one, but I don't know. I guess it's not, I understand that these are like very small samples. You can't like say, I'm not saying because he pitched well in game one of the NLDS that it was a good pickup or anything like that. I've just seen a lot of Cubs fans like, well, the last time we saw him, he sucked. I don't want him. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's yeah. just, I don't
know. How short of a memory is that? Like if they forgot about game one, you know? Yeah,
right. So, Kurt, why do you think the Cubs might be interested in a 37-year-old John Lackey?
Well, I mean, last year was actually one of his better seasons. You know, and like Andy mentioned, the Tommy John surgery, since then he'd been pretty durable. So that's one factor on a post-Tommy John guy. But then I think probably mostly it's the deal you're able to give a 37-year-old, and that's just 2 years. And you're going to pay him decently for those 2 years at $32 million. But, you know, you're not handcuffing yourself for the future. You know, you're not locked in at 30 plus million for 7 years. And so if he doesn't work out, the risk is lower and the Cubs have other needs. They, you know, they need a center fielder. And if you're going to spend a little money on that, you don't want to blow all of your available cash on just one starter. So I think that's probably the main reason. And because he fit that financial part, then, you know, you look at the other things, like he's been pretty durable, lots of experience, playoff experience. He's been pretty consistent. And of course, there's some familiarity with some of the other players in the clubhouse. So, you know, overall, I think he's kind of checked a lot of boxes, even though he's at the higher end of age for a free agent signed pitcher. But, you know, with the 2-year deal, I think, like I said, your risk is fairly low. So,
and given all the innings that he has been able to do since his surgery, he seemed pretty durable. Do you guys think that it's like the signing is an eye towards being able to extend Arrieta also?
That's kind of what I was thinking about it too, was that because it's a short commitment, it's not a deal that really handcuffs them, and that contract will end when Arrieta becomes a free agent. And so going with him now rather than, I mean, I think if the Cubs would have gone out and picked up Price or Greinke, I think they wouldn't have had the flexibility that they need to keep Arrieta. And so I think this at least like keeps the door open for being able to extend or bring Arrieta back if he goes to free agency. And I think it would have been really difficult to do that otherwise.
Yeah.
But I guess some of the other reasons I like it is just, I like the fact that he's a veteran. He's seen a lot of different, a lot of different situations. I think that one of the things we talked about right after the season ended was that the Cubs, I think a listener asked a question about, or maybe, I don't know, one of us did, about what the Cubs needed to be more successful in the playoffs next year or get further or something like that. And I thought it was experience, and it wasn't necessarily like individual player experience, but just overall team experience. But I think that Lackey, because he has a ton of postseason experience, he's pitched in 23 playoff games. He's pitched in 15 different series, and he's pitched well in the playoffs. So I think that it's a signing that I think that in October they saw some weaknesses, obviously, and I think that signing a pitcher that is short term, that isn't super expensive, that they're familiar with, and that has postseason experience and has seen success in the postseason, I think he checked a lot of boxes.
Yeah, for sure.
And his projections don't look bad for the next few years. Even though he's 37, Steamer projects his 2016 season to look very similar to his career averages. In fact, it projects slightly higher strikeout rate and a slightly lower walk rate. And so the projection for 2016 is a 3.89 ERA. So I don't know. I guess just initially it was kind of like, ugh, really? You know, I think that was kind of like my gut reaction. That was even my gut reaction when the rumor was that they were considering him. But I think the more I looked at it, the more comfortable I was with it. Do you guys have any reservations now other than his face?
Other than that, no.
Well, I mean, like, if he comes into the clubhouse and there's a magician in there and a snow leopard, I mean, maybe he's like, all right, let's break out the beer. What's Josh Beckett doing? You know, let's revert to our old ways. I don't know. I don't think like his makeup is like the type of guy that, you know, is going to be embracing, or, you know, the epitome of the Cubs way or anything like that.
But I kind of see what you're saying, Andy. But here's where I stand with it, is that this front office has made it pretty clear that they care about makeup and they want a good clubhouse environment. You know, they've kind of brought in the right kind of guys. And what's interesting about that is that they have brought in players that they are familiar with, that on paper, or for any of us, we would think, like, for instance, Manny Ramirez, you would think, is that a guy that you really want, like, training minor league guys and coaching them and really just even being around them? I think that they know, they probably, I mean, I think that they know these players better than we do. And I think that they wouldn't bring in someone that would not be a good fit for the clubhouse.
Right. You know, and I guess if anybody knows him, it's the front office. So once again, we have to defer to them and just assume that they know what's best.
Now, I will get concerned if the supposed closer that the Cubs are interested in trading for is Jonathan Papelbon, then I might be a little concerned about the direction that they're going with clubhouse chemistry.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, then we know they're a little too, let's get the old band back together, crazy.
Okay, so I guess, yeah, I don't really have anything else to say about Lackey. I think it's going to be interesting, and I think that all of us will probably get more comfortable with him as it goes on. And I would assume next year we won't have, hopefully we won't have some of these like feelings of like reservation or just kind of, I don't know. It's kind of like one of those things where you just kind of hold your nose and it's like, but Jim I mean, Edmonds,
maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's a good parallel, is somebody that like, we don't really have fond memories of. We don't, you know, he's not like a guy that you necessarily wanted to see the Cubs sign, but Jim Edmonds actually played really well for the Cubs and it turned out well. So
after his first like catch laying out, you know, giving it all up on the outfield for a fly ball.
Yeah.
To make a play, I kind of changed my opinion of him a little bit.
And he hit for
at least
a lot
my
of
opinion
power.
Of having him on the Cubs.
Right. Yeah. So, more pitchers that the Cubs will not be getting now. Greinke, he signed with the Diamondbacks in a move that was pretty surprising. And then Jeff Samardzija. Samardzija and the Cubs, I guess, flirted on the playground a little bit, but he ended up signing with the Giants. I really wanted to see Samardzija back with the Cubs, but that's just because I really like him. But
he wanted to go study a lot longer than the Cubs were willing.
Yeah. But I'm totally fine with him going to the Giants. I'm really, like we said, I think knowing that this kind of opens things up a little bit more for Arrieta. Right now, I would probably rather have Arrieta in the long term than Samardzija. So it's fine by me. I was just really scared that he was going to end up going to St. Louis.
Yeah.
So
that would have been gross.
I could just, I don't know. It was just very easy for me to picture like, just a dirty mullet in a Cardinals uniform. I guess because I've been to St. Louis and I've seen lots of dirty mullets and Cardinals uniforms in the crowd. So,
as opposed to a like a well groomed, like well kept mullet, like a
that would be okay.
one that's clearly been washed recently.
Right. Okay, so that's this week in free agent pitching. The Cubs did add another arm this week in Edgar, I haven't heard it pronounced yet, but I'm going to guess it's almost.
Almost, yeah. Almost. Like I saw somebody on some, I don't know, comment thread saying he's almost going to make the bullpen or something like that. Anyway, like, you know, Edgar James Olmos from his work with, as the star of Stand and Deliver, Battlestar Galactica, Blade Runner, and Miami Vice. And I'm just kidding. I'm talking about Edward James Olmos, guy whose name is almost the same as Edgar Olmos.
wow, you are milking that one, Andy.
What's that?
You're milking this one.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do. I don't know if you guys noticed that. But yeah, Edgar Olmos is actually, not to be confused with Edward James Olmos, he is a mustachioed left-handed reliever that the Mariners had. They DFA'd him, and so the Cubs grabbed him. He has pretty gross facial hair. Do a search for him at some point. It's pretty nice and gross. But his facial hair maybe helps him throw as hard as he does, which, according to a couple sites I saw, he's averaged 93.3 on the heater during his stint in the big leagues. And speaking of that, he's only pitched 19 innings in the bigs, and he's 26. But he's been really good. He's just another one of those guys that's been really good at the high levels of the minors, but yet has struggled with control in his big league time. And so this last season, 2015 with the Mariners, he had 14 innings pitched. He walked 8 in that span and allowed 7 earned runs in those 14 innings pitched. And so despite having that nice heater for a lefty, he has control issues. So you know, it's just another one of those guys that they're planning on giving a spoonful of that classic Bazio control serum and seeing what they can make of him.
Do you think we're going to have one of these bullpen guys to talk about every episode this offseason?
It seems like they're stocking up.
How many times do you think we have said, like, yep, that's another Bazio reclamation?
A lot. Yeah. I was trying to put it in a different way for once.
Yeah, so like if the Cubs are playing the lottery, they're buying scratch-off tickets, not the Powerball. You just buy as many as you can, and you hope you win a few grand here or there. But they know they're not going to land the Powerball.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's Edgar almost. And then also in the last week, we learned that Javier Baez could be an option in center field for the Cubs in 2016.
Yeah, they've said he's going to play in center this winter. And, you know, athletically, it makes sense. I mean, he's certainly got the athleticism to make it out there in center. I think Madden kind of said his only hesitation is the fact that he's pretty good in the infield, so it'd be tough to lose him there. But the reality is the Cubs need a center fielder, and I think for the most part this is a backup plan to not landing somebody in free agency or a trade or however they might fill that need. If they didn't, then he potentially could play out there. But I don't think that they want this as an everyday option, but it makes sense to explore it, and that's what they're saying, is that we're just seeing how he does out there.
I kind of like the idea of him playing center field. I like that idea more than like Chris Bryant moving to the outfield and trying to, you know, putting Chris Bryant in center or moving things around or whatever. And I think it would just be, even if he's not like a starter out there, I think that we've, you know, obviously in this last season, we saw Joe Maddon get really creative with substitutions and just moving people around and stuff like that. So I think that would give him a little bit more flexibility. And I think you would probably prefer to have him in the infield, but if they end up not moving, you know, Castro or Soler, or, you know, if they just kind of like stand pat with what they have, he brings a lot of power in keeping him in the lineup. He didn't bring a lot of power this last season, obviously, but I think he could over the course of a whole season. So I think that's kind of interesting. I kind of like that idea. And it could be something too, where they go out and get like kind of another like fourth outfielder type and do some sort of platoon. So
it's worth a shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it would be interesting to see some tape of him playing center field and see how he plays and how much ground he covers and stuff like that. So,
given the range that we've seen him have at times, you know, just as a shortstop or just as an infielder, that has to translate somewhat to the outfield, right? I mean, you have get a good break on a ball, and he does have some speed, so,
and a really strong arm.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a number of things I would think would be conducive to him being able to play a pretty solid center field.
Yeah.
Well, and for as long as they've had all these shortstops, it's kind of what you always say, is that shortstop depth means that guy can play anywhere. You know, your best player plays shortstop, and if you need to move him, he can probably play any other position except for maybe pitching and catching. So I think we knew this would happen a couple of years ago when they had 20 shortstops. So.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, we kind of raced through those topics, but really those were kind of the only ones this week.
Let's call it a year.
Yeah. I mean, is there anything else you guys wanted to talk about? We didn't ask for listener questions or anything like that this week. I kind of like the idea of having shorter episodes in the off season. I thought this was kind of a good week to try to pull that off. Because sometimes we're not so good at, like, oh, yeah, this one will be short. And then, like, in an hour 25, it's like, oh, I guess it wasn't.
We talked about Lackey's face for 45 minutes. Right. And then we're like, man, we went a little long, didn't we?
So this is a shorter one, but we do have some internet muscle flexes. I've got a couple. Did you come up with one, Kurt?
I didn't, because Cubs.com won't let me load comments.
Hmm.
I don't know why. I've been trying all the whole time. So no.
I have a bunch. So how about I'll do a couple and then I'll let you do. Do you have one, Andy?
Yeah.
Here's one. So these are I think after the almost signing, and the one of these says, stop wasting your money, go for a free agent.
Oh man.
Here's another one. Mexican word of the day. The Cubs almost won a World Series, but they didn't have the bullpen to get it done. And then like a crying frowny face. Okay, I'll do a couple more here. They were pretty easy to find this week. I can't remember. Yeah. Oh yeah, this is one for the these are all from Instagram. I think I forgot to say that. So this is from the one where the Cubs were wishing Javier Baez a happy birthday.
Oh no.
And this person says, Baez for Shelby Miller equals 2016 World Series secured. Happy birthday, by the way. It's so great. You're like, the Cubs should trade you. Happy birthday, by the way. And then this other person disagrees with it. He doesn't like the Shelby Miller for Javier Baez trade, and instead he suggests that the Cubs trade Chris Bryant for Shelby Miller. I love trade speculation. Laughable. On Instagram. Okay, go ahead with yours, Andy.
Sure. So the Cubs posted a picture of them. Oh man. Okay, so it's a picture of them putting. Okay, here's the caption. There's some pictures, and it's spreading holiday cheer with the community during our annual holiday tree lighting and toy drive. And so, as you can imagine, a lot of people hated the fact that they called it a holiday tree, including this commenter who said, Cubs need to grow a pair and stand up for our history, values, and traditions. Quit appeasing those who wish to change us with your so-called politically correct speech that's garbage. I'm with the goat until you grow a pair. Merry Christmas. God bless America.
How appropriate on this first day of Hanukkah.
Until the Cubs are willing to call it a Christmas tree, he's with the goat.
Oh man. Okay, so mine, my last one here, this is a bit of a throwback to last week. This guy will not get off this trade idea that he has. So it's like a picture from, I don't remember, it might be from the Baez birthday Instagram, and he comes through with Javier Baez, Albert Almora, Billy McKinney, CJ Edwards, Jamer Candelario for Billy Hamilton, Gerald Chapman. Comes through with it again. And then, okay, so here's some of the comments. Someone comments that and says, that's actually not that bad of an idea. And then he says, if they could do that, then I think we would have, they would have the best bullpen and one of the best outfields and lineups. So they kind of go back and forth and talk about it a little bit. And then he says, I would really like the Cubs to do that deal, because the Royals didn't do it all with power. They did it with bullpen, defense, and speed.
Oh, no.
I just think it's so great. Wow. I love the fact that, like, after a team wins the World Series, then fan bases are convinced that that's the way to win.
Mm-hmm.
But again, trading Baez, Almora,
everybody.
Billy McKinney. Right, so you get 1 year of Chapman, and then you have Billy Hamilton.
who just runs. They only want him because they're going to start some sort of sausage rape race type thing at Wrigley. He's just going to run around. That's all he's going to do. He's not going to play.
Oh, man. I hope that this guy just keeps up with this trade proposal. Like I hope every week I have that one to revisit.
I love that he had to throw in Candelario too.
Why not?
Just throw him in there. Had a pretty good fall. Throw him in. Just in case they weren't taking the other guys for that deal.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Just in case Baez, Almora, just in case Baez, Almora, McKinney, CJ Edwards, those were not enough, and Jamer Candelario. All right. Well, that does it for this week's episode. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. A special thanks to our associate producer level contributors, Matthew Macer, Anthony Hutfels, Joshua Hansen, Ryan Shores, Brian Hunt, Andrew Gross, Tim Marr, Ryan Winkle, Tristan Nichols, and the Quad City's own Jason Nunn. If you would like to help keep this podcast going, check out our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. So thanks for listening to this episode, and thanks to all of you that watched it live. And until next Sunday evening, go Cubs!